Welcome to the Guitar Freaks Podcast, where we turn beginning guitar players into guitar freaks. This podcast is sponsored by Fret Deck. And now your host, Justin Comstock.
Welcome to the Guitar Freaks Podcast. This is Justin Comstock, your host. I'm very excited today to have Marcela Campos on our podcast today. She is a blues rock guitarist in New York. And Marcela, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. We want you to tell our listeners a little about yourself, and we want to hear your story in regards to the guitar. Go ahead.
All right. So I started playing like around 16. It was right after I heard some of like those classic hits from Aerosmith, and it just hit me so strong. I was like, oh my god, that's the coolest thing I ever heard in my life. So, you know, those epic riffs and those epic solos, and they had those super cool video clips on MTV. And after I saw it, I was sold. I was like, I need to learn it. I need to do this.
Yeah.
So I started taking some private lessons, and little by little, I started gigging around. I played a lot of church. And I started teaching too. And by the time I had to decide a career, it was very clear for me that I wanted to do music.
Yeah.
But I come from a very conservative family, and there is no musicians in my family, like at all. So, needless to say, it was not very well received. Okay, I'm gonna study guitar. I was like, you already study guitar. I mean, what you doing for college, for a real career? I was like, guitar?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that was a big no. And I just ended up doing something else. And, of course, I kept playing. And by the time I was done, I graduated. It was 4 years. And I was like, you know what? All right, I did the way of you guys. Now I'm doing my way. Now here's your diploma. Now I'm going to get my.
Yeah.
What I actually want. So I went to LA, and I studied on LATM. It was known before as LAMA. They recently changed the name. It's the Los Angeles College of Music. And it was such a great experience, you know, not just the school itself, but also, you know, living abroad, you know, getting to know so many people. Like in my class, there were people from China, from Russia.
Oh, wow.
From Mexico, from Korea. I mean, it was just such a rich experience in so many ways, you know?
Yeah. why don't you tell our listeners where you are from?
Okay, yeah. I'm from Brazil. I'm from a city called Belo Horizonte. It's not that known, but it's very close to São Paulo and Rio.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's not that much of a big city, so it was really great for me, you know, to get out and to get exposed to so much culture and so many different things, you know. I remember one of the first classes in school, I was there all shy because I am super, super shy. I just don't know how I got into playing guitar because I'm very shy. And, you know, I was my natural shy. And I was like super insecure about my playing, and I was like insecure about my English. That was not great either.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, now we're going to play. And the great thing of this school is that we would play with a band a lot, you know, and the band was not students, it was like real pro gigging musicians. So one of the first class was like, okay, we're playing this exercise that is like trial inversions, and all right, Marcela, you come. And who is playing bass is Philip Vino. And I almost dropped that on the floor, you know. For so many years, I watched those videos of Steve Vai, and I saw that super badass guy there playing bass. I was like, oh my god, this guy is just the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, Steve Vai.
I'm there playing triad inversions with Philip Vai, and I was like, god, this is just crazy.
It's pretty cool. So would you say Steve Vai influenced you to play the guitar? Or is there more people?
There's more people, but he was definitely one of them. I love his playing, and not just the playing, but also the performance, you know, because he's just a full-on entertainer. He doesn't deliver just the music, but it's the whole entertainment, the whole visual thing, which I think is pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's great. Yeah, Steve Vai is a wonderful guitar player.
He is amazing.
Who else has influenced you to play the guitar?
Well, the first one ever was Joe Perry, because you know, I was so obsessed with Aerosmith and I was listening over and over and over.
Yeah, Aerosmith's so awesome.
He was definitely the one that made me pick up the guitar. And after he was like, I was very obsessed with like 80s rock.
Yeah, me too. That's totally me.
Yeah, cool. Cool, don't judge me. That was my thing. I also, you know, love Doug Aldrich. I think he's an amazing. I was so obsessed with Whitesnake. I went to so many Whitesnake
songs. Oh, wow. Whitesnake's great.
Yeah, so Doug Aldrich is a big one for me. And also, you know, the other super cool thing of being in LA is that you actually get to meet those guys, which is so cool because, you know, you use it to just see them on videos and this, and then you meet and they are like just the sweetest person, and it just feels so good to know, you know, that.
That's very cool.
Great players, they are like super beautiful people.
Yes, very cool.
Another one, and the one that's so strong for me and is just like important play and was so important in my life in so many ways is Scott Henderson. I love Scott like so much. He's just such a great player, and it's funny because even back in Brazil, when I would listen was like rock and like 80s rock,
Scott
was a strong one for me, you know. And on LA, he was playing all the time, and it was just so cool to be able to go and see him from close, because in Brazil, the only time I saw him was like on the back of an auditorium. I was like climbing on chairs to kind of peek to see his face, you know.
Yeah.
And on LA, he would play like on Baked Potato and those like small intimate places. And it was so great to see him that often. And, you know, life is so crazy that I ended up becoming friends with him and hanging out with him. And
very cool.
And he ended up playing on my record, which also was something that I still can't believe that happened. And
so
over the
cool.
years, you know, whatever I'm leaving, that he goes play, we meet, we talk, we laugh, and he's just such an incredible guy, and for me, the best guitar player on the planet.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic that you're able to collaborate a little bit. So I'm curious, how did you learn to play the guitar?
Well, I first, it was funny because when I wanted to start playing, I wanted to start playing electric. I don't want acoustic. And a lot of teachers turned me down because they're like, no, I'm not teaching electric. You know, you have to pass through acoustic before. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. So I finally got this teacher. He's actually a great Brazilian player. His name is Roger Franco. He's like a super shredder guy. And he was the one that really taught me the very beginning, you know, the basics. And I learned a lot from him. But when I actually learned it was in LA. That's where I actually got all the foundation of music that I was lacking. And it's where I was exposed to all the other styles that, you know, that I wouldn't listen or play before. So I would say that actually was going to music school and also playing a lot.
Yeah.
Everything that you practice, that you learn is nothing if you don't throw yourself in situations that you're playing with people and for people.
Absolutely. Like I completely agree. You know, playing music, learning, playing the guitar is a social activity. I've said this with other guests on podcasts. Getting out and playing with other people is probably the best thing that you can do in regards to learning the instrument and
definitely, yeah,
you know, mastering the fretboard and all that. It's just getting out and using the music theory that you've studied or the chords that you've studied, whatever, and actually, you know, applying it to actual live situations or recording situations, right?
Yes, for sure. Which is another, it's so challenging and people don't realize until they do it.
Yeah. So I completely agree with you, and when you get out and socialize with other musicians and play, that's where you improve. Because you can sit and do courses all day or classes or take lessons, but if you're not getting out and doing it, like, that's probably the most critical part of learning the guitar is getting out and socializing and playing with other musicians.
Yes, and listening what they are doing.
Yeah, listening is a key element to improving yourself on any instrument. You know, it's just observing and listening how other people, you know, phrase certain notes and you know, it's basically just listening to people communicate on their instrument. I love it. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Marcella, what advice would you give to a beginning guitar player?
Oh, I would say one of the most important things that it can sound obvious, but a lot of people just skip through it, it's really learn your fundamentals. You know, of course, when you play, you want to play things that are fun, you want it to be exciting, but reserve some time on your practice to work on those fundamentals, you know. Make sure that you know your subdivisions, that you can put a click and you can find easily, you know, your quarter notes, your eighth notes, your triplet, your 16 notes, and at different tempos. So, and also take time to learn your scales, take time to learn your arpeggios, take time to learn your chords, and don't just learn shapes because they tell you, like, okay, is this shape, that's how your hands should look like, you know.
Yeah.
Really understand what notes are in there and try to have a better understanding of your fretboard. You know, when you're playing a scale, see the relation of the notes with your root and you start kind of mapping it out and seeing, you know, okay, so this interval is always going to look like a third, this is always going to look like a fifth.
Yes.
That's going to go such a long way, you know, and if you try to skip through that, you're going to get to a point that you cannot improve unless you take a big step back and go through that. So you might as well just, you know, be patient and do it, because it's definitely going to make you a much better musician.
Wonderful. And that's that's so yeah, cool. No,
that's a big one.
I had two thoughts while you were talking about your advice. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think there's two aspects that are kind of critical in regards to playing. And you mentioned rhythm, and I'm gonna take that a little bit further. When you understand how to, like, phrase certain, you know, guitar licks, phrasing is probably, in my opinion, the most crucial thing to learn on the guitar, because it's basically your placement of your notes within the bar and the beat and stuff like that. And you can play a few notes and learn how to place them in different parts of the beat, and it totally can change the feel and the flavor of your notes and your song. And I have found, for me, over the years, when I've more conscious of my rhythm and where I'm placing my notes within rhythmically, right, I feel that I can create more powerful melodies. And I'm sure you do it too. A lot of guitar players don't really think about it. They go and do and you know, they play their scales and stuff. But when you're conscious of how to phrase and where you're placing your notes within the rhythm, that's, I have found, you can take, you know, three or four notes and just make a killer melody. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I learned that a lot from the blues, you know, because on the blues sometimes you hear, like, that one note that is just feels like a punch on your face, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Just so good. And I mean, yes, it's the power of the note, but it's also the power of the placement, you know, where on the,
yes, so cool.
Yeah, so that's something really important that I see, that a lot of people, they want to learn how to play fast solos and this and that, but, you know, if you don't learn the time, that is something so important, and the subdivisions, and to really place things where the notes are going to come out more when you play, you know, where on the beat, that's going to really make you a better player.
Absolutely. And the other thing I'd like to touch on, one thing that I have noticed in my own playing, is, you know, you mentioned kind of breaking out of the box and the patterns. I have found that when I start, and I don't sing, I'm not a singer at all. I'm a guitar player. I'm a guitar freak. But I have noticed when I sing a melody and it comes from me, that all of the scales and all that stuff goes away. And when I put that melody that I have sung myself onto the guitar, it becomes more meaningful. And I start hearing notes that I wouldn't normally hear when I'm just, you know, stuck in a box pattern, right? So I think those two things are, in my opinion, you've touched on them, and we're kind of going into more depth with them. But I think, you know, learning how to phrase and then singing your melodies first before you put them on the guitar can help guitar players kind of break out of, you know, the boxes and stuff. Because
that's a great one, and you're gonna sound more vocal and you're more
exactly
melodic,
exactly.
Because, you know, honestly, it can be cool for a second, but you know, that's all for a second, and then you're kind of like, give me something else, you know?
Yeah, because
after that, kind of be humming and remembering, because I'm not gonna remember, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it comes from you. Like, when you sing your melodies before you place them on your instrument, it's extremely personal, because it's something that you're making yourself, right? And then you're placing it on the guitar, which is a tool, right? The guitar is a tool for music, you know. So and I believe that the music needs to come from us first, and then we use that guitar, you know, to speak, you know, how we feel and how we're placing, you know, the music rhythmically, right? It's wonderful.
It's just a way to translate what you're, you know, trying to say.
Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, so I would say that really learning fundamentals is one, and the other advice I would have is to enjoy the journey, you know, because we all have different strengths and weakness, and sometimes I'm gonna learn something easier, but something else is gonna be way harder, and it's gonna be different with everyone. So I see a lot of people, they get stuck in like judging themselves and compare with other people, and that's honestly just a waste of time and energy. You know, we are all different, and that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely.
When you're learning, you know, try to give yourself like small doable goals. Like, for example, if you love Guthrie Govan, he's awesome, but don't go and try learn a whole solo of him, because you're gonna get frustrated, you know.
Yeah.
He's an amazing player, and you're gonna get there, but you know, just like running or lifting weights, you don't go from 0 to 100. So don't try to do that on the guitar.
Yeah. It takes time, and it's worth taking the time.
Yes, it is. You know, so instead of going for a whole solo, take one lick. And try to learn that lick and to really understand what's happening there, and then to apply for your playing, you know. And like that, you're going to build up, and you're going to build up, you know, not only your playing, but your confidence. So that's another thing that I think is very important, you know. And it's also advice for me, if I could give advice for my young self, you know, learning guitar.
So, this is so great.
I think that's something that people need to always in mind, like, enjoy the journey, you know.
I love it.
It's cool to look back and I was like, shit, this 2 years ago, this was so hard for me, and now I can do it, and that's awesome. But, you know, everything takes time with the guitar.
Absolutely. Wonderful. All right, Marcella. My favorite question. I love asking this to all of my guests on the show. What is your favorite guitar and why? Tell me.
My favorite guitar right now is my Exotic Strat. You know, this the Exotic, they are like a great company, and they do very cool pedals and great instruments. And when I got more and more into blues, I was like, okay, I need to have like a good Strat, you know, so I can really dig in on this. And I contacted them, and they were like, okay, so we're gonna send you this form, and you choose everything. That was something great, you know, because it was a sort of custom guitar. I chose everything. I chose the woods. I chose the frets.
Oh, wow.
Everything was like exactly made for me.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, it was such a different experience from like going and trying a guitar or, you know, seeing a picture. It was like, I mean, I know it sounds so ridiculous and exaggerated, but it's like a pregnancy, you know? You just see what you know?
Yeah.
You wait and you wait and you fantasize how it's going to look like. And these, you just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this kind of idea, but you never really see it until it's there. So it was kind of exciting, you know? And I would like kind of check the ones they had, but mine was different, was not going to look exactly the same. When it finally arrived, you know, it went like beyond my expectations. You know, it was just so beautiful and it felt so good. The neck was perfect for me and the sound was so great. You know, they have their own pickups, which was the only part that I was kind of like, I'm not sure. I never really checked their pickups. Maybe I'm going to have to change. And I already had a plan of what pickups I could replace. But I was like, no, I'm not touching it. Perfect.
That's so awesome. Is that the red guitar that you play on your Instagram?
Yeah.
That's
the one that I have on my hands all the time.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I was imagining in my head. I'm like, okay, it's probably that red guitar that she's always
playing. It is. That's
beautiful. Yeah. It's so cool. I love it.
You know, like if you want like heavy, super heavy, how ages, you know?
Yeah.
Such a great job.
So cool. And,
yeah, I really love it. Before that guitar, I was playing a lot on my PRS, and the cool thing is being inside the closet, inside the case.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love that PRS. It plays great. It's just because now I've been playing so much more of blues, and the stress really gives me everything I need for that.
So, another question here. You mentioned you've been playing more blues. What blues players are you listening to, and who inspires you within the blues genre?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, there are so many, and there's, you know, it's always changing. I'm always finding out about, oh, this guy is also super cool, and this and that.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, but I would say a big one is Albert King. You know, I really love his playing.
He's fantastic. I've been collecting Albert King vinyl records, and he is just...
Oh, that's amazing. I'm so jealous.
I'll have to send you over some of the vinyls that I found of, because I found some rare ones that aren't, you can't find them on like iTunes or Spotify. They're just only on vinyl. So it's so cool listening to these songs from Albert King on vinyl that, you know, are only on vinyl. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I think he's a big one. I really love his playing, and it's always a challenge, you know, to mimic, like, you know, to perfection his bends.
The way he bends those strings is incredible.
It is. It's amazing. You know, I really dig his playing. And lately, I've been listening so much to Timon Walker. You know, and I've been fascinated with how much stuff that I saw was from other guys, but they actually stole from him.
Oh, totally.
You know.
I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan was influenced heavily from Albert King.
Yeah,
And I know they put out an album together.
That album is perfection.
It's wonderful. So it's good. I'll have to find that one on vinyl. I don't have that one on vinyl, so I'll have to find that album. That's a great album. So cool.
It's so good, you know. And Stevie is another one that.
Yes.
Love so much how he found that super sweet spot between the rock and blues, you know.
Yeah,
pretty amazing.
I remember when I was young, my dad, I first started playing guitar. My dad bought these Stevie Ray Vaughan DVDs from Austin City Limits, and he's like, "You guys, you need to watch this guitar player." And I started watching Stevie, and I'm like, oh, "Okay, this guy's my favorite guitar player. He's incredible.
Yeah,
he's,
I know.
He still influences me today. And it's cool listening to the Albert King records because I'm like, oh my gosh, Stevie got that from Albert King. It's amazing.
Yeah, a lot, you know, and that's the good side of quarantine. I'm catching up on my reading a lot.
I read the
biography of Stevie Ray, and they were talking about, you know, when they met, when Albert King met Stevie Ray, that, you know, the owner of Antone, that's what announcing, had to kind of beg Albert King, please let him sit in with you, and Albert King wouldn't let anyone sit in with him, you know. And he's kind of like, all right, bring these kids, you know.
Yeah.
After he started playing, he was like, oh shit. You know, right. they said he was turning his back on stage so he wouldn't look what he was playing. He was like, this kid is copying all my shit, you know. They became friends, but it's just so cool, you know, to read and to see those stories and how they all connected.
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Transferred from one to another. So yeah, Steve is amazing, and but T-Bone is a big one too. I've been loving to listen to him, and BB King also is just so incredible.
Yeah, I would have to say that BB King is probably my biggest influence in my playing. I am a huge BB King fan. Love it.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good. I love him. And also Albert Collins. Also, is another.
Yes. Fan. Yes. All these guys are. I got all their vinyls. I've been listening to all their vinyls. It's so wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I mean, the list goes on and on, but I would say those are my top favorites.
Very cool. Very cool. I want to kind of shift gears here and talk about any albums, or I noticed it that you teach a little bit of classes, guitar classes. Why don't you tell our listeners about what you do, if you have any albums, where they can find them, or, you know, if they want to take guitar lessons from you, how do they do it? You know, tell everybody, you know, what you do.
Okay. Yeah. So I have one album out. It's an EP. Was my first album, was out on 2016, and that one I record was like the last thing I did on LA, was right before leaving LA, and it's cool because it's kind of summarized my time in LA, you know.
Yeah.
So it has some blues, it has some rock, some fusion, so it's a little of everything, which is reflects what was LA for me. That kind of open it up for me, you know, for more styles and a lot of different music. And it was very cool to have on that album bass player, Philip Bynum, that, like we were talking earlier, was someone that I always admired so much. And
yeah,
he ended up being someone that was playing there on the school, and we also became friends. So it was very cool to have him, and also to watch him recording, with was like one of the most impressive things I've seen. I saw someone record something like, you know, so fast and so killing, you know, from one take, like, all right, done, next. And I was like, wow. So
very
that
cool.
Was really cool. And I also had Scott Anderson playing solo on one of the songs, which was something very cool for me too, from someone that I was admired so much. And that EP is available everywhere. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, Deezer, so very easy to find. Just put Marcella Campos. And
awesome.
And the last one, yes, I've been teaching for years now. I really love teaching. And I mean, now we are stuck with online teaching, hopefully not for long.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anyone would be interested in taking lessons, we can talk about a lot of things. You know, I'm more into blues, but I also play a lot of rock. And you can reach out for me on any of my social medias, or shoot me an email at marcellacampusmusic@gmail. I'll be more than happy to talk with you about it. And right now I'm on the very early stages to work on my next album.
Very
this
cool.
One is going to be full on blues. So we're going to hear a lot of those guys that we talk about. Going to have a lot of little things of them all around it. I'm very excited for that too.
That's what I'm talking about. More blues. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You'll have to, when you release your next album, you'll have to let me know and we'll bring it back on the podcast and we'll talk about it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be my pleasure.
Definitely. Absolutely. That would be so fun. Marcella, it was so great talking to you today. This was a blast. I loved it.
Thank you. I had a great time too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is fun. I'm going to remind our listeners to connect with us on the Guitar Freaks Facebook page. Just go there and join the group. You can share pictures of all your guitars, post videos of yourself playing, you know, all that jive. We love Guitar Freaks. So if you're not on our Facebook page, go join it, Guitar Freaks Facebook page. Marcella, thanks again for coming. We're so glad you came. We're so glad we heard about your albums and your guitar classes. And we wish you the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. It was really fun talking to you.
Rock on, everyone.